This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يقول الله تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما شفاء السؤال. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our local, national and international listeners to this edition of the Q&A on this day, the 27th of Rajab 1441, corresponding with the 22nd of March 2020. Before we proceed, we will inshallah mention out the different nisabs. The zakah nisab for the as at today is 5,450. The mahar fatimi is 13,650. The minimum mahar for the those of the Hanafi madhab is 275 rand, and those of the Maliki madhab is 90 rand. As for those of the Shafis and Hanbali madhab, there is no minimum mahar. Insha'Allah, for those of you who do have questions, for our local and national listeners, it is 084-786-3132. You may WhatsApp your questions to that number, 084-786-3132. And as for our international listeners, it is +27 084-786-3132. Alhamdulillah, today we have Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Hafizahullah in the studio with us in Durban, and we will start with our first question. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa khalid. Jazakallahu khairan to all our technicians and our engineers. Thank you very much.
Our first question: when will the month of Sha'ban start?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. I need to draw the attention of all the listeners throughout the world that we all know about the coronavirus, and there is a wonderful book written on this topic regarding the various types of pandemic, epidemic, in the Arabic language by one of the greatest scholars of his time, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, had lost three of his daughters, and the book's name is Badlul Ma'un Fi Fadli Ta'un. Badlul Ma'un Fi Fadli Ta'un. And when he lost his three daughters during that pandemic, so he wrote this book, more than 400 pages, obviously in the Arabic language. And one, two things he mentioned there, and he said, read Kathrate Durood Sharif, Salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a person who experienced this, and he lost three members, beloved daughters of his family. So remember that we should be reading abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for ourselves, our families, and the Ummah Muslimah. Second one, Quran Sharif teaches us, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Almighty Allah will not punish people as long as they engage in istighfar. So we all need to beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness, and ask Almighty Allah to pardon our sins, and inshallah things will change from the current situation to that which is much, much better for us and our country and the international community as well, and the Ummah Muslimah throughout the world. The question, when will Shaaban start? Alhamdulillah, we know that today is the 27th of Rajab 1441. So inshallah, Tuesday evening after Maghrib, we should scan the sky. And because here in South Africa, it's just 7 hours or less. So remember, the chances of seeing the new moon, the crescent, are very, very slim. But we must carry out our duty. So 99% what will happen is that Wednesday will be the 30th of Rajab, and then Wednesday night and Thursday will be the 1st of Shaaban. So this coming Thursday, inshallah, will be the beginning of Shaaban Mubarak, and we all should read the Sunnah Dua, as we have mentioned on several occasions in the past. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, make this month of Shaaban and every lunar month when it starts, make this month a month of khair and goodness for us, our families, and the Ummah Muslimah. Wa Rushdin, and a month of righteousness. And the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood.
Our next question, Mufti Saab, is it permissible to close the masajid?
We are definitely opposed to that, and last week also this question came, and we inundated with these type of questions. We know that various countries, various ulama, for whatever reasons. So let us look at the facts. Remember, Islam from the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, we have experienced in the greatest era that there were pandemics, there were epidemics, all these type of things. But never did Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khulafa'i Rashideen, or the Sahaba, or A'imma Arba, the four schools, they unite on this issue that because there is a pandemic, now close all your masajid, suspend your Jumu'ah. So that has not happened. And it's ironical, yeah, in South Africa, all these people who are calling for the masajid to be closed, I need to pose 3 questions to them and the medical fraternity as well. Number one, we know in South Africa, still no one has died with this pandemic. And we must remember, we have 7-8 million people with AIDS here. So how come when AIDS we have, but nobody says that you must close your masajid or you must close your musallas and so forth? Second, to those doctors and medical fraternity, how come all your people's surgeries are open? How come that you are interacting with all the sick people and so forth? But the purest place and the best place, which is the masjid, which is the epicenter for our Muslim activity, many doctors are saying that we need to close it. But you don't see any shop closed, you don't see any supermarket closed, you don't see people doing that. So is that not double standards? So remember that, how come the shops are open, how come the supermarkets are open, and they are open for 8, 10, 12 hours, and now the masjid, we are saying that take all the necessary precautions. We are not saying that we must not take precautions, but that blanketly you give directives. Those ulama who say we must close, we strongly oppose it, and remember that we oppose it based on Quran, on hadith, and on Ijma, and remember, there's no precedent for that in Islam. So remember this. Third one, let us be honest about all this. That why are the masajid closing? Is it really to please Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, or to please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or is there an ulterior motive? We want to please some politicians or the government or somebody else? And if that is the intention, which seems, then remember, we are going to disgrace ourselves, and Almighty Allah is posing the question. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Do you want honor by them, the non-Muslims? But honor only lies by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. There are churches in many places are still open. The synagogues are still open. The government has not said that you must close your masjid. So why are we now going to close our masjid? Apartheid was a crime against humanity. But it never ever happened in apartheid also that our masajid were closed, our musallas were closed. So remember, we're dead against it. And let me make one thing clear. Because we don't affiliate with all these ulama groups and so forth. So remember, we are independent, alhamdulillah, and we'll speak the truth without fear and favor, alhamdulillah. We are consulting very, very senior ulama and legal personnel, and we all have agreed, inshallah, that the people who have closed the masajid, the trustees and so forth, then legal action will be taken against you. Who gave you the right to close the masjid? Does it belong to you? Does it belong to your family? Every masjid belongs to Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. Wa anna al masajid lillah. The masajid belongs to Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So inshallah, you will find something in the press from our legal eagles and so forth that in the near future we must open up our masajid and not tell people the masjid is closed. Who gives you the right to close the masjid? It belongs to Almighty Allah. If you don't want to read Salat in Jamaat, by all means go read with your wife. But you got no right to deprive other people. That is what Abu Jahl and them did. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. When they saw Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading Salat, they prevented him. So how can we be preventing people from coming to the masjid? Suddenly Jummah is suspended. What? Who gave you the right to suspend Jumu'ah? Who gave you the right to tell people they can't come to the masjid? So remember, we reject all these fatwas and we say that they're not worth the paper on which they are written. From our perspective, we're clear on this issue.
The third question, is social distancing in Salah permissible?
What a mockery we are making. Just again, I went to Kwamashu. They speak of social distancing. Now you look at the masjid looks like a soccer field. That you got one right wing, you got one center forward, you got one left wing. All shaitani at this. Remember this, that we must stand shoulder to shoulder. I ask you, when you go to the supermarkets, do you stand so far from one another? You go to your shops, you, the customers come in your shop. Will you tell them they must stand 2-3 meters away? You'll never do that. Will you tell them that they must be less than 100? You'll never do that. We are not saying that we must not be 100 and less. We got no problem with that. But to tell us that our sufuf and the rows when we perform salat, we must have big, big gaps like that, we reject it totally. And whichever Maulvi, ulama, mufti, whoever pass this type of fatwas, we reject it. I ask you 3 questions. Number one is this, go to any township, any place there and see the shacks. See the, you know what they call informal settlement and see how the people are packed their sardines there. So you must remember what the government has said is not that you must do it in your masjid. They have to sort out the mess they created. Today people speak about we have to wash our hands, we have to use this, we have to use that. But where is the running water in the rural areas? The government and the politicians have stolen it. Let us be honest about this. We don't have to curry favor with any person or any politician or any government. So remember, the state-owned entities are down and broken. So therefore, these are the issues. It's no sense standing there with the president and then we all smiles and nobody can speak the truth. We need to speak the truth that the government has let down the people of South Africa. We can't fly on South African Airways. The people, many of them, don't have access to water. Then you want to come speak. You don't have housing because you, the politician, stole the money and nobody gets prosecuted. So that is ironical. So therefore, it's not permissible according to any madhab, no Shafi'is, no Hanbalis, no Malikis, Hanafis, that you stand 1 year, 1 year, and so forth. And if that Maulvi or Imam or Mufti or whoever tells you do that, you go read Salat in another masjid, or you stand next to the person, they can't touch you and tell you anything. You tell him you are following what Quran Sharif states and what the Hadith states, not what you are saying to please some government and so forth. So all these things here, remember, we are bringing bid'ah and innovation in our masjid just to suit and just to please certain politicians. It's absolutely a disgrace.
Can we keep Qadha fast in the month of Sha'ban?
When you study Seerah Mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will find that the Master alayhi salatu salam used to fast excessively during this month of Sha'ban. And when Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam was questioned, the hadith in Sunan Nasai, وَأُحِبُّ أَن يُرْفَعَ أَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ, that I love that my actions are raised to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala whilst I'm fasting. So it shows that, you know, the businessmen, they have the end of the financial year at the end of February. So our actions go up in Sha'ban. So that is now the annual actions. So in that way, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to fast excessively. So here we have three scenarios. Scenario number one is this: a person from the day, male or female, that they were baligh and mature, till now, that every Ramadan, the obligatory fast they kept, so they don't have qada. So mashallah, you fast excessively Mondays and Thursdays, or 13, 14, 15th, remember, of Sha'ban, so that's fine. Or you just keep the 15th of Sha'ban, so that also is fine. So that's one scenario. Second scenario, the majority of Muslims throughout the world, we have missed certain Ramadan compulsory fast due to illness, sickness, or the ladies due to their menses on the fast postnatal, or due to traveling. So we must keep the qada fast. Remember, the qada fast, that is what Almighty Allah will question us. He won't, Allah won't question us regarding our nafil and sunnah fast. So we need to get our priorities right as well. Number two is this, that we find that people today want to short circuit the system, that now Sha'ban will start. They say, okay, of example, tomorrow, they say Monday I'm keeping qada and I'm keeping sunnah fast. So they want to make multiple intention with the qada fast. That is not permissible. So when a person keeps qada fast, make your intention at night, meaning that before the suhoor, sehri time expires, you made your intention, you kept the qada fast, and no other intention should be made of a nafil, voluntary or sunnah fast. Then it is valid. To make multiple intentions with qada fast is not permissible, and that is the verdict of majority scholars.
Must we cancel our weddings due to the present circumstances?
It's very good that what has happened, especially regarding the weddings, what you want to invite 500 and 1,000 people and so forth. So now next week your son, daughter, your grandchildren are getting married next month or whenever you in Sha'ban. So fine, tell people we invited you, but now we don't want now everybody come, then it's problem with the authorities. So we will invite 50, 99 people, 100 people, and you do not cancel and postpone the nikah. Inna a'daman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. Remember the hadith in Mishkat Sharif that the best nikah as far as barakah blessing goes is that nikah where the least expenditure is incurred. So therefore, that now you will be forced to keep it simple, and normally you will find that people keep lavish marriages, nikahs and so forth. Whole week they doom down. There's something going on. One night is Mehndi night, one night is bridal shower night, one night is Qawwali night and music. Then Thursday night will be Khatmul Quran. So remember that none of these actions here are sunnah or something, and that Qawwali music is not even permissible. So we should remember, keep our marriages simple and don't try and show off. Innal Mubazirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen. That the people who squandered their wealth, they are the brothers of Shaitan. Chapter 17, verse 27 of the Noble Quran. So therefore, never postpone and delay the nikah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith Bukhari Sharif, Ya ma'ashara shabab, man istata'a minkum ulba'ata falyatazawwaj. O you group of youngsters, whosoever has the means to get married immediately. Fa innahu aghaddu lil basari wa ahsanu lil farj. That way you'll keep your gaze down and you will protect your private part. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So therefore, we must remember that we all must try and encourage our children to get married as soon as possible. So no delaying, no cancelling, no postponing. Everything must go on as normal next week, next month. And don't worry about the situation regarding your marriage. That is, we all should be concerned about the current situation, but not regarding nikah. We want to postpone it, so that is unacceptable.
When will Umrah open?
Allah alone knows. We all should be making special dua. Surah 2 verse 128 we should read. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, you show us the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive us, Ya Allah. This is all in the world we as Muslims believe. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُم. When calamities befall you, it's because your own actions, your own deeds. So many a time we are to blame for what is happening. For the pious people, the awliya and them, it is a trial in the sense that Almighty Allah elevates their rank and status. But for majority of us is action and reaction. So therefore we need time to do some introspection as well. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy. We always must read two rakats. Salat, Allahumma ihfaz bilad al-haramain al-sharifain min kulli su'in wa makruh. Ya Allah, protect the haramain sharifain from all the enemies and all type of evil. Allahumma tahhir al-majid al-aqsa min al-yahud al-ghasibin al-muhtallin. Ya Allah, you liberate majid al-aqsa from the enemies, the Zionist apartheid regime. Speaking of social distancing, Gaza is the biggest open prison in the world. They are jam-packed there. But you find so few cases of this virus and so forth. So what happened to your social distancing and so forth? On a lighter note, one chap asked me yesterday or this morning about the social distancing. I asked him, bhai, when you're going to sleep with your wife, how are you going to have conjugal rights with her? When today you're going to meet your children, grandchildren, you're going to hug them, how are you going to have social distancing with her? When you have a doctor giving injections, how are you going to have social distancing? So remember that when you make laws, you must look at practicality and be pragmatic. Don't make laws that people are. They have to break the law because the law itself is not practical. Show me in one township where they can practice on this law, where the people are packed like sardines, so in the shacks and in the informal settlements. So therefore, remember, and then to bring it in our masjid, definitely unacceptable.
Are hand sanitizers permissible?
Remember, one should abstain from it. We all know that it has alcohol, so that will be the best to do. And if you look at the doctors and them, that many of them, remember how among the ulama you will find various verdicts on certain issues. Among the doctors also, you will find so many conflicting reports. One doctor will tell you this, well, this virus here, is it a virus, is it a sickness, or is it chemical warfare? So that also we don't know. Somebody will tell you this, somebody will tell you that. So anyway, whatever it is, we must take the precautions. We are reiterating that. So we will say, wash your hands, use soap and so forth. And if you don't use that sanitizer that has alcohol, it's all the better. But if you use it, and now you're especially going to masjid and so forth. I was in a masjid yesterday before I entered. I see that they're giving that sanitizer, you know, placing on the hands and so forth and putting in our hands. So straight away after that, go wash your hands or go make wudu. It's not compulsory to make wudu, but definitely if you don't have wudu, then you have to perform wudu. But if you have wudu, then it will be better that you just wash your hands and mashallah, then you go and perform your salat.
A patient sent me this message today. His wife, who is 44 years old, is now pregnant with their fourth child. She had a miscarriage last year. Would lack of decent medical care be a valid reason to terminate this pregnancy?
No, remember, we must not work on assumption. In South Africa, where is the medical care? You can't go to a government hospital, the 90% of them are in shambles because they stole all the money. So you must remember that you have to go now, that look for a doctor, look for private hospital, clinic, so forth. Anyway, be that as it may, you cannot abort baby because you say there is no health care. So all this is totally haram. You can't become a murderer and commit abortion there. So you have to read you, the father, mother, the husband, wife, read Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, verse number 8. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa, wa ma taghidu al-arhamu, wa ma tazdad. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala alone knows what that female is carrying, boy, girl, twins, triplets, all the contraction, expansion taking place there. So there with the fetus and so forth, only Almighty Allah knows. All the gynecologists, doctors, no one can give you the exact amount, that how many hair on that baby and all these type of things. No scan can tell you that. So read this ayat abundantly. Read Surah 37, chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, that you grant us pious children. The dua of Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam. Give our charity daily. Even for this virus and so forth. So Almighty Allah is in control of everything. We should not panic. We should not become negative. We should not go now into another mode and so forth. This happened in Italy, and this happened in Iran, and this happened in China. So remember, our iman is on Almighty Allah. Yes, we use the means, and then we place our trust in Almighty Allah. But to say I won't read salat in the masjid for the man, and all these are now things that we go to another extreme, which is not permissible.
Is it haram to keep qada fast on auspicious days?
Remember that you keep qada fast on any day you want to, beside the two Eids, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. So the first of Shawwal and 10th of Zilhijjah, and 11th, 12th, 13th of Zilhijjah. So the Ayyam al-Tashriq, beside these 5 days you keep qada, it's fine, there's no problem.
Insha'Allah, we will now take a break and continue with the next segment of the show after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
An Umrah deal not to be missed. Travel and Tour World brings you an Umrah package to suit your needs. Tailor-made packages include flights, 5 nights in Makkah, 5 nights in Medina, Saudi visas from just 14,999 rands per person in quad sharing. Call us now on 031-209-9292. That's 031-209-9292. Travel and Tour World, for something special in service.
Quarantine or not, Deliver has your back. Get what you need by the click of a button. With the Deliver on-demand delivery service app, you can send and receive packages where they need to be. We pride ourselves in fast, safe, and reliable deliveries. How does it work? Simple. Step 1, choose delivery options. Step 2, choose location and delivery vehicle. Step 3, enter delivery details. Step 4, secure payment. Step 5, there is no step 5 because it's that easy. You can also track your parcel while it's getting delivered to your desired location. Deliver also offers both a food delivery and point-to-point ride service to further cater for all your transportation needs. Delivery companies, you can also register and manage your fleet and drivers. Download the app on Google Play or the App Store. For more information, visit our website at www.deliver.co.za. That's DELYVR.co.za. Or come visit us at 641 Peter Mokaba Road, Essen, Woodburyia. Deliver, DELYVR. Try us today. Capital Air Conditioning, your one-stop air conditioning store. For all your cooling and heating solutions, call 031-208-5166. KZN's leading air conditioning company is chosen by the readers of the Daily News for the last 2 consecutive years. Let us keep you cool through summer. Call us now on 031-208-5166.
SS Wheels, direct importer, wholesaler and retailer of mag wheels and tires. Buy any mag and tire combo and get a Marcus Sahaba decoder free. Situated in Benoni, 64 Lake Avenue. Call us on 011-422-4112 or 4114 or 082-300-3870.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم once again to this edition of Q&A on this 27th day of Rajab corresponding with the 22nd of March. Inshallah, we will now proceed with our next question. Can Mufti Sahib please elaborate on Laylatul Bara'a? What is it all about?
Remember, Laylatul Bara'a is the 15th night of Shaban. So inshallah, this Thursday coming will be the first of Shaban. So 2 weeks time, Wednesday night will be the big night. And we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe that it is a big night and a very, very auspicious night. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith is mentioned. So many ahadith. If you open Tirmidhi Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Ibn Majah, various books, you will find a hadith regarding it. Sheikh Albani rahimahullah has written a wonderful commentary on the hadith. And if you want, open the third volume of his work, Al Ahadith Al Sahiha, hadith number 1144, and you will find it. Last year, I was in Medina Munawwara, 15th night of Shaban, and the Imam of Masjid Nabawi also mentioned that hadith from the mimbar. So therefore, they also now accepting that the 15th night of Shaban is an auspicious night. However, the lesson for all of us is this: فَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحٍ. That Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will forgive the entire creation on that auspicious night, except people who are non-Muslim committing kufr and blasphemy, or shirk and polytheism, or mushahin, people who have grudges, hatred, rancor. We have severed ties. We see the Muslim and then we turn our face away. We don't even make salam. We don't have to agree, but at least salam we should be making. So therefore, people who have usurped the rights of others regarding inheritance, business deal when sour, whatever the circumstances are, so remember this great night of Laylatul Bara'a, Shab-e Bara'a, call it whatever you want. 15th night of Shaban is an auspicious night, and to cleanse and purify ourselves. Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us. And that is what Iman. وَلَا تَجَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا. Ya Allah, that do not place in our hearts the malice, rancor and hatred. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. So, Ya Allah, that those people there who we have misunderstanding with and so forth, so we need to eradicate that rancor, malice, hatred, and at least make salam. That is imperative. So that is what Laylatul Bara'a is all about.
In our town, there are two brothers who are active members of the community, active in Islamic work. Both their wives go to the shop. The one brother's wife is in parda, but she helps in the shop with her face open. Is it permissible for the woman to go to the shop without her parda?
It's not permissible for the women to go to the shop whether the face is open or whether it is covered. So we must remember all and sundry now will touch her and so forth. You know, I was on the plane on Wednesday when I flew from Johannesburg to Durban. So it's normal that I entered and I handed over my boarding pass. That lady told me they're not even allowed to touch the boarding pass. That's the new protocol they have. So now this lady will be touching the money and touching people's hands and so forth and so on. I wonder what the social distancing, what they will do with money and so forth. Somebody give money, they'll say put it there 1 meter away. You see the craziness of the situation. So anyway, I wanted to ask them that what you will do if somebody give you money. So anyway, the point here is this, that a person must realize that certain laws that Islam has given, that is the law for all times, all places. And that is, a woman's place in Islam is at home. A man's place is, he must be the breadwinner. Not we look for loopholes and so forth. No, you come to the shop and you bring parda and your face is covered, so then it's lungile, then it's okay. No, it's not lungile, it's not okay, it's not permissible. Yes, you must remember that in war situation, abnormal situation is different. While I'm speaking on that, let me just clarify another issue as well. So that what you all are doing, whether what parda, without parda, both not permissible. The lady without parda is committing a greater crime, obviously. You know, today I'm inundated with this question as well, that they're saying, since when the adhan has changed, that certain places in South Africa, other countries, the muadhin is saying, swallu fi buyutikum, swallu fi rihalikum. Yes, it is mentioned in the hadith in Musnad Ahmad and various other kitabs. Now, when did that happen? You must remember there were severe, severe floods. And that time there, where are we? Where's the floods? We're going to the shop, we're going to the supermarket, we're going to the airport, everywhere else we're going, but we can't go to the masjid. So remember that, don't quote the hadith out of context, you. And don't go and listen to trustees who don't understand Deenul Islam. So we need to be level-headed on this issue. People are closing the masjid, but they leave the muazzin there with one, two people and say, you make jamaat, and you tell the public you read salat in your home. But everywhere else, they're roaming around and moving around. So where is the common sense in that? You explain that to me. Because common sense is no more common. Show me which Muslim person has closed his shop. Show me one person has closed his factory. Not one. So remember that day we want our personal gain, our money, all that we want. But when it comes to Deenul Islam, we tell people, no, you can't come to the masjid. You go, people are crying. Some people were reading Jummah Salat in a particular masjid for 50 years. When they went Jummah day before yesterday, they don't know about WhatsApp and emails and computers. So they found the masjid closed. And now they told them, go to that masjid, go there. The person must see Jummah Salat. Who is responsible for all this? So therefore, remember, you can't use that hadith, and in your adhan to use that word also is not permissible. Where is the problem here? I'm traveling, I'm reading salat here and there, and we all are fine. There's no problem. So nobody died also. So, and people are dying of AIDS and malaria and so many other diseases. So the swallu fi buyutikum is not permissible in our current circumstances.
If a male texts a female telling her nakahtuha wa kabiltuha and have witnesses, is their nikah valid?
If a male tells the female nakahtuha, I have married you, wa kabiltuha, I have accepted you, or the lady says that to the male and there are two male witnesses, still the nikah is not valid. Because remember, la nikaha illa bi waliyin is authentic hadith, and the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Abu Dawood, that you need the girl's father, biological father's consent, and that did not take place. What chaos there will be today in the schools and universities and workplace. Just now the boy girl says, we are married, the father doesn't know, the family doesn't know, so it will lead to absolute chaos. Islam is there to protect your honor and dignity and chastity. So therefore, these type of, you know, secret nikah and just playing around with a park nikah, you park in the car, the boy and girl are sitting in front and they say, I'm marrying you, and they say, one party say, yes, I accept, and they got two witnesses, maybe they even paid them. So all these type of things, you are playing with Sharia. At tala'u bid-deen, we call it, is not permissible, and the nikah is null and void. If you're living together, you're living in sin, and your children will be haramis. Your children will become illegitimate children.
My baby boy is now on solids. Does my wudu break when I change his diapers?
Whether your baby is on solids or on liquid or on milk or what have you, remember, your wudu will not break at all. So that masla, you thinking that when he is on, you know, taking milk from you, breastfeeding, then your wudu will break, and now on solids it won't break. It doesn't break any time. There's no napaki coming out from you. You are just changing the diapers of your baby, so your wudu remains valid. Yes, obviously, from a personal hygiene point of view, after all that, then you go wash your hand, and now there's more soap and more all those type of things, caution, so that's fine.
Would the individual salah be accepted if he is reading salah in jama'ah but standing 1 meter away from the other musalli?
It's makruh tahreemi that. Remember this, they sin on the maulvi, the mufti, or whoever told them to do that. And the public, they don't know what's going on. So remember to read salah tadat. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shuddul khalal. You must close the gaps. The shaitan must not enter. We made big, big gaps here, and we're telling more and more shayateen to come inside. So yes, although the salat will be valid, but it's makruh tahreemi to do this. It's a disgusting practice that in our masajid is a total bid'ah and innovation and not permissible.
Can one read Salatul Hajah straight after the Maghrib Salah and Dhuhr and Isha Salah?
Yes, 100% after Zuhur Salat, you can read Nafil after Maghrib, after Isha. So you first read your Sunnat Salat after Zuhur, after Maghrib, after Isha. And then you read 2 rakat Salat, Nafil, voluntary. Read Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun after Surah Fatiha. Kul Wallahu Ahad after Surah Fatiha in the 2nd rakat. And thereafter you beg all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and you beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Ya Allah, this need of mine, you fulfill it. However, that need itself must be something permissible and acceptable. Not now somebody is married and now you make dua that his marriage must break so that you can get married to his wife and so forth. So obviously those type of things would not be acceptable.
My sister was affected by jinn 5 years ago and it stopped. Today it started again. What can we do?
Remember, if you are sure that the jinn came again, or this what we say, that the external forces, then tell her she must read, or you the family read Surah Baqarah, read the Manzil, then tell her to remain in hudu as far as possible. Ayatul Kursi is very, very effective. So read the 4 quls. So all the Quranic verses, you know, so try and read it, blow on her, or on the brother, whoever it is, and so forth. Remember, inshallah, Almighty Allah will protect us. And therefore, every lecture so far we gave now, whether in Umslanga, or Mirbank, or Sufi Masjid, and wherever here in Glennon Road, or in Kwamashu, or for example, last night, Avondale. So we told the people, read this dua abundantly. I'm reading it now once for individuals, and then we will read it for the families and collectors. So let us learn this type of du'as. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection. Min sayyi'il asqam, from the dreaded diseases. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. The hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. You as the father, the husband, the wife, the children, the ustad, the students, so read together. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika. So that will be for plural and collective. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Oh beloved Allah, we seek your protection, oh beloved Allah, from the evil and dreaded diseases. So Almighty Allah give shifa and cure to all those who have these problems with jinn and the external forces. Remember that this happens because many a time people are jealous, they have a hidden agenda. So always after every salat also read Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, Ayatul Kursi, and inshallah Almighty Allah will protect us from these evil forces. And la yuhafidhu alal hudu'i illa mu'min, stay in hudu and ablution. Obviously we can't be in hudu 24 hours, we have to sleep and so many other issues, but majority of the time stay in hudu. The hadith is authentic in Ibn Majah.
Can Mufti Sahib please explain whether it is permissible to read Sunnah Salawat while one is a Musafir.
Yes, you must remember that I'm a Musafir here in Durban. So now what do I do? Fajr Salat, I read 2 and 2, and I read Salat in a Masjid, Alhamdulillah. So the man must try and read all the Afar Salat in the Masjid, whether you are Musafir, a traveler or Muqim, or you are in your hometown. Zuhur time, you read 2 rakats, and if you are reading behind the local imam, then you read 4 rakats. And regarding the sunnahs, if you got time, read the sunnahs. If you got no time, you can omit it. But if you have a lot of time, then read qada salat. And you can omit the sunnahs, but rather emphasize and read your qada salat when you musafir as well. Then asr, you read 2 rakats, and then maghrib, 3 rakats. Isha, according to Hanafis, 2 and 3 witr. According to majority scholars, 2 rakat isha you read, that will suffice. The witr also will be waived off. So that is for people who are musafir. But when we have the time, then it's best we read the sunnahs, and even more important that we read the qada. And if you're reading behind the local resident imam, then for zuhur, asr, isha, you will read all 4 rakats.
I am an Indian Muslim man desiring to marry an African Muslim woman. However, my parents are refusing, stating, how will I face the people because she is black? Please advise.
This is because we have come up from an apartheid history and we think that white is right. Now you are an Indian, and now to get married to an African, that in that African, isn't it better than marrying an Indian if she's pious and the Indian lady is not pious? So that should be the real criteria. So it means, according to you or your family, that if a person comes like Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu an, dark in complexion, or a person comes like Osama bin Zayd radiallahu an, dark in complexion, or Hazrat Luqman radiallahu Allah Ta'ala and who dark in complexion, you'll just say no, because he's dark or she's dark. Is that right? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the demise of his honorable mother Sayyida Amina, who took care of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You call it Hadana. The Hadina, the lady who took care of the Habib of Almighty Allah, was an African lady. Her name Baraka, her kunya Agnoman Umme Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha. So you must remember, this is our own apartheid that we have within ourselves. So you, brother, I am not suggesting to you for a moment that you should disobey your parents, but you should get the ulama and tell them there to speak to your parents. That lady there who's an African lady, and she is happy, you happy. If her father is a Muslim and he gives permission, so if you can get married, it's fine, it's permissible. And remember, if her father is non-Muslim, then you don't have to even worry about his permission there. Her permission and the imam who will be performing that nikah if you go ahead, so he will become the wali and the guardian for that lady there who embraced Islam. But again, I will reiterate that you should go and speak to your parents and take their du'as. And you parents, you need to know that apartheid mentality is no place in Islam. In Kwamashu, when I was there, that was the talk, and you should tell them. I sent it out on WhatsApp. So you should give your parents that lecture, the African contribution towards Islam. What people did for the love of Islam. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, one of his greatest teachers was an African, Atta bin Abi Rabah. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, one of his greatest teachers, Muslim bin Ibrahim Zanji, African. One of our greatest teachers, African, Umar Falata, Sheikh Umar Falata, rahimahullah. So when we used to study by him, we used to kiss his hand, kiss his forehead. So there in Masjid Nabawi, he used to teach, we used to sit there in his dar so many times. He took me to his hour, to his, you know, special offers and place and all. So you must remember that is the distinction. You have Iman, you have Islam, you have piety, you have good character. Not that a person is fair in complexion and then you don't have no brains, no piety, no character. So what good is that? So we should understand that, get out of that apartheid mentality.
Is there any evidence for the validity of reading Ayah Karima a number of times?
Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, the one who reads Ayat Karima, Surah 21, verse 87, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The dua of the noon, that is the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam, whilst he was in the belly of the fish. Yes, it's very, very, it's sunnah, is effective, is very powerful. And Almighty Allah has mentioned it. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And that is, that we will remove you from the sadness and worry, and we will rescue the believers as well. Yes, your question is very good. That people say read Surah Yasin 41 times. People say read Ayat Karima 1,000 times, 313 times. All these amounts are not sunnah. First thing, take it out of your head, is not sunnah. So Surah Yasin, excellent. 41 is just permissible. But to say that is sunnah or compulsory, totally wrong. Ayat Karima, very good. But to say 313, 1,000 times, so many times, that is not sunnah, not compulsory. So when I write the fatwa and so forth, I just write there, read abundantly. So every person just read how much you want to. So that is what we should be doing. And then you beg Almighty Allah, Jalla, and your du'as will be accepted, very, very effective.
Someone has asked with regards to the masala of nikah over the phone due to the coronavirus ban. How does one go about doing the nikah over the phone or video calling? And is it permissible?
Remember that now people are stuck in certain countries because now the planes also are not flying to certain countries, and certain countries have said no foreign airlines allowed and so forth. Pakistan, India, yeah, there are so many issues now. So the people are worried, the nikah is supposed to take place today, and now one party is there in Hong Kong, one party is in India or Pakistan. What do you do? It's simple. So if you want to really get married, both parties are happy, the parents are happy, all are Muslim. So you, the boy, you in Hong Kong, and the girl, she's there in India or Pakistan. So you appoint somebody or brother as a wakil, representative there in Karachi or Delhi or wherever the girl is, and tell that person he must act on your behalf. And they can just phone you today, it's so easy, and then confirm, have you appointed this person to be your wakil? See, I perform Mona Khalid's nikah. I didn't perform, just give an example. So when I perform Mona Khalid's nikah, he was in the masjid, but his wife was not in the masjid. So his wife appointed a wakil, a representative. So I asked that wakil, Mr. ABC, that did you take permission from the lady XYZ that she will be given in marriage and nikah to Maulana Khalid Yaqub Hafizahullah? And he said, yes, she's happy, she gave consent, we have two witnesses, the mahar is so much, the marital gift. So very simple, you, the boys' party, you appoint somebody as your wakil representative in that city, in that town where the lady is. Or the other way around, the lady, you appoint somebody to act on your behalf in that town, that city, that country, where that boy who will become your husband shortly. So you become the one to appoint the wakil, you confirm everything, and then you have the two witnesses there, and the nikah is performed, so that will be fine, and now you will become husband and wife, and then you have to make a lot of dua that all this virus, everything goes away. Allahumma rfa' anna al-bala wal-waba. Ya Allah, all these calamities and viruses you remove from us, oh Allah, and let the plane start moving, let people settle down, let the umrah hajj visas open, Ya Allah. So these are the type of du'as you must make. So husband, wife, you don't do social distancing, you come together, inshallah.
We booked 2 months back to travel from Durban to Cape Town by flight on the 27th of March. Should we go ahead and travel to Cape Town or cancel the flight due to the coronavirus, as everyone is sending messages that we must not travel?
I'm traveling just now after the program, inshallah. So this is what I'm talking about. We are Muslim. Since when we can't even take a domestic flight? Oh, I told one person I'm going to Kwamashu. That person nearly collapsed. You're going to Kwamashu. You know what is happening there.
So we went, we came back, alhamdulillah. Have some iman, put some trust in Almighty Allah. If I want and the visa is open, I take a flight now and I go for Umrah. So you must remember, alhamdulillah, for what must you be so frightened? وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good, bad, happy, sad comes from Allah. Take the precaution, remember that. But to say that now we're not going to, and everybody starts stocking up toilet paper. What's this? So, I can't believe the people now, toilet paper has become a priority in life. First it was Bitcoin and now it is Bitcoin. So are we gone nuts or crazy or what? So remember these type of things. Everything moderate, everything must be done properly. We don't have to go to any extreme. There's no war here. There's nobody dying here with this COVID-19 and so forth. That's far. And Allah Jalla Wala. Now this happened here, this happened here. You're sitting with 8 million, 7 million people will age here already. So what you talking about? You don't have a hospital. They don't check right there. We don't have enough beds in the ICU. We don't have enough beds in hospital. What about all these 7 million people? You got beds for them. So that are the questions. You must ask the difficult questions. Don't go boot licking the politicians and president and that. Those are the questions you have to ask. Bring back all our money. So they come worry about your toilet paper and all. So remember, you fly, you go, no problem. You lady, go with your husband, you go to your father. Not ladies fly alone. So I'm dead against all this. We mustn't fly and all that. I'm telling you, I'm flying today, inshallah. So remember, I told you if the visa's open, we fly tomorrow, inshallah.
Are we allowed to wear silver rings on our index finger?
The hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tirmidhi Sharif, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, Nahani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an hadihi wa hadihi. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must not wear the ring in your index finger or in your middle finger. You wear it on your little finger or your ring finger. That is for the men. And the hadith in Tirmidhi. Likewise, another issue related to that, for men, you should only wear silver rings. And gold rings, according to all scholars, is haram for the men. So that the ring should be ittakhidhu min wariqin. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it should be made of silver. It should not exceed 4.85 grams of silver. So these hadiths are mentioned in Tirmidhi. So therefore, brother, that if you're going to wear the ring, you should take all these issues into consideration.
Inshallah, we will now go for a break and resume with the third segment after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.